you guys. Happy whatever the hell day it is today. Tuesday, I guess, right? Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about this Netflix series that they have going on.
Yeah, we saw two of them, right?
No, this is, well,
it's... That was the third one? That wasn't the third one, was it?
Yeah.
It was? Okay.
We watched, it's three episodes. It was three episodes.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode
okay.
on Sunday night, I think, and then I watched the last two episodes last night. So that okay, was like so the whole thing. Yeah, that was okay. like the whole thing.
I thought we had another we had to watch.
No. All
right.
Yeah, so this was the same guy that directed this, Joe Berlinger, I think his name is. He's the same guy that did that one, like the Ted Bundy tapes. So this is like another in that series. That came out like in 2019. He also did a couple, I didn't actually realize this, but he also did a couple of other kind of true crime ones. Remember that one that we saw about the Cecil Hotel? You know, about like Elisa Lam and the water tank and stuff like that? He directed that one as well. Like, and it had some other kind of murders that happened at the Cecil Hotel also. But yeah, so that's like the same guy. So this one kind of has a little bit of the same conceit, I guess, that the Ted Bundy one had, in that they have all of these recently released tapes of John Wayne Gacy, like, talking to his defense team, like, while he was, you know, obviously, like, on trial for the many, many murders that he did.
Yeah, this dude killed almost 30 people, 27.
No, 33.
33?
That they know of.
Okay.
That they know of. And so it's kind of interesting because I feel like this one, I mean, the Ted Bundy one did this too, but it kind of jumps around a lot in time, so you do kind of have to, like, pay attention to it. And I do kind of feel like the tapes, while important, are maybe not as important as the Ted Bundy ones, and I'll kind of get into maybe why that is in a minute. But what they do in the first episode, it seems like they're mostly focusing, they do kind of focus somewhat on the victims, although not so much at first. That's kind of like comes into play like in the later episodes. But what they do with the first one, it seems like the, you know, the disappearance of Robert Peast, who was his last victim, and the one whose disappearance, that was like the person whose disappearance they were investigating where he ended up getting caught, they kind of like focus a lot of stuff around that particular case because that was kind of how, because the fucked up thing about John Wayne Gacy, and like I said, it's, you know, I feel like he's kind of one of the quote unquote big ticket serial killers, so a lot of people know a lot of the details or at least have passing familiarity with them, is that this motherfucker got away with the shit for such a long time, even though he seemed to be not even really hiding it all that much. You know what I mean? It just seemed like, because a lot of the people that he killed, like a lot of his victims, he would ask them, hey, come work for my contracting company. And then like 2-3 weeks later, they would disappear mysteriously.
Yeah, he was directly connected with all of them.
And he was, for some reason, like nobody thought that was like a red flag. You know what I mean? He just seemed to, like, just fly under the fucking radar for an alarmingly long time.
I mean, boys.
Yeah, girls, boys and young men.
Yeah, and if it was girls, they would have been onto him quick.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, and because of most of his crimes, I mean, happened in the early to mid-1970s, and they talked a little bit about this in the documentary, but because, and a lot of his victims weren't even gay or weren't male prostitutes or anything like that, but because of that perception, then maybe I kind of feel like the cops were sort of more willing to be like, well, we don't really want to hear about that gay stuff. Or they were more willing to feel like a boy, you know, like a teenage boy was more likely to just run away from home, which is probably true. But I just felt like they didn't really take it all that seriously for whatever reason. It just like took a really, really long time.
They thought they were running away.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that, and I kind of feel like this, you know, maybe more so with boys than with girls, but it happened with girls as well,
yeah.
And particularly in the late 60s and early 70s, when a lot of younger people were, you know, running to go to California or whatever, I do kind of feel like they didn't really take it all that seriously, so there might have been some of that as well.
Yeah, you know, they weren't little kids, they were late teens.
So. Yeah, I mean, 15 and up.
Yeah.
Which,
I think the average age might have been 18 or so.
Yeah, some of them were as young as 15. Yeah, that's
most of them were like, if they came up missing, it wasn't like a missing child. It was just a missing person, and there was no body, so they didn't suspect the murder, you know. And they just, fucking cops weren't doing their job. Well, I guess they didn't think of crimes were being committed. They just, gone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I know we've talked about this before. Yes, it's easy to say, like, in hindsight, but the thing about it is that until Robert Peace disappeared, who was, like, his last victim, I feel like they didn't even check, even though several of the missing kids' parents had, like, told the cops, hey, the last person that was with him was this Gacy dude who he was working for and would call, like, this one couple, their kid was missing. They called the cops, like, 100 times and said, please check this dude out.
Right.
And they just didn't even look at his criminal record because he had a criminal record
for doing that shit.
Waterloo, Iowa, for sodomy, like, on a 15-year-old boy. So he'd done it before, and actually some of the men that he had, you know, young men or teenage boys that he had raped, lived.
Yeah.
And some of them did report it, but not really much was done about it. Because, like I said, the cops were just kind of like, man, well, it's gay stuff. We don't want to get involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
Shouldn't let him do it. That kind of...
that's what I mean. I kind of feel like maybe that attitude, like, but I'm sure that wasn't the only factor, but that definitely seemed to play into it some.
It was the times.
And also, it must be said, too, that the victims probably didn't want to report it either to a large degree for many of the same reasons. So I kind of feel like there was just kind of all this perfect storm of all these fucked up factors that were, like, contributing to letting him get away with killing at least 33 people that they know of.
Could have been the cops in that area at that time, the ones that were dealing with this or who were confronted with this, didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
I think it's what they're like, it's unlikely. Probably just kind of dismissed it. No, it didn't happen.
Well, and because he was kind of in the community, he was kind of like a well-known...
Right.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say he was likable, because a lot of people kind of thought he was like an overbearing jerk. But, you know, then again, a lot of people thought he was like a nice dude, and he was kind of like a community. He was, you know, in the JCs and all this other kind of stuff, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm in the Polish parade, and they would sweep people, you know, they would shovel snow off people's walks for free and all this other kind of stuff. And I just kind of feel like, oh, nobody wants to think that somebody like that is doing that fucked up of shit, like, in their life, you know?
Gacy has that... I don't understand why a lot of people don't see it. I think a lot of people do, but I don't know. But Gacy has that speech pattern of a pathological liar.
Yeah, you can really hear it like on the tapes.
Real fucking strong. All right, I recognize it instantly when I see it. It's constant lying. The liar is not real convinced of his lying. He's, you know what I mean. You can tell that the motherfucker's
lying. He's very glib.
Glib and there's just this speech pattern that they use that is just very artificial and kind of mechanical. And I don't know why. It's whenever they find these serial killers, most of them have that.
Yeah.
That same speech pattern kind of thing. There's no way to describe it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's very apparent when you listen to his tape. Sesby says, is there any admittance by Gacy in this series? No.
No.
Everything I've ever seen of him, he's always innocent.
Somebody else did it.
It's always kind of, it's not so much that, it's not, he's not saying that he didn't bring the boys home.
Yeah.
He's not saying that he didn't have sex with them. He's not saying that he didn't, but he's kind of arguing, implying that it was consensual. And also sometimes he'll say something like, one of the victims that he killed, it might have been Robert Peast or the one that happened before that, I can't remember. But he, you know, put some, like, you know, the rope and stuff like that around their throat. And then, like, he got a phone call in the other room, like, for his business, because he ran a contracting business. And he went in there, and he's just like, oh, when I came back in, he was dead. It's always just kind of like, like, he blacked out. And it's like, you know, oh, the next morning, he was just dead. I don't know what happened. It was just that kind of crap.
There's always some
like,
excuse.
And I'm like, really? Do you really think anybody is buying that shit?
It's always some excuse that lets him off the hook.
Yeah,
and there's 30-something of them.
33. I very much doubt that happened 33 times.
Well, I don't know what happens, man.
I just
these dudes keep dying.
Offered this kid a job at my contracting, and then all of a sudden he was dead and raped and strangled in my house. I have no idea, like, what could have happened.
And I don't know why all these young guys are all good looking. I don't know. It's just every time there's young, good looking guys, they die. I didn't do it.
I kind of feel like
that's why he's fucking.
I mean, what I got from him, like, okay, now one thing, he didn't really. I mean, I kind of feel like Ted Bundy. It's been a while since I saw the Ted Bundy tapes. Ted Bundy's ones were a lot creepier because he did seem. Ted Bundy seemed to have like a lot more. I don't want to say insight. That's not exactly the right word, but he seemed like more aware of what he was doing and aware of why he was doing it. I kind of feel like Gacy, I'm not sure if Gacy believed his own bullshit. It's like hard to say because he comes across as just very flip. He's very artificial. He's very, I kind of feel like I'm not sure if he actually believed, because he did say like on some of the tapes that I didn't do any of this and I'm going to get away with it. Just you wait. He was just like saying stuff like that. I don't know if he actually believed that. Or if he was just, or if it was just like bravado, because I kind of feel like the way that he grew up, with his dad being really like abusive and his dad, you know, calling him queer and like beating the shit out of him and stuff like that, thinking he was like faking illness and all this other kind of shit to get attention, and him wanting to like please his dad and feeling like he never could. And I wonder if him being that, being the way he is, was just kind of like, he's terribly like afraid, he's very insecure, he doesn't really seem all that intelligent, he doesn't really seem to have a lot of insight into his own into his own psychology, so everything is just bluff and bravado, like everything is coming across as a sort of like fake arrogance. That's kind of like what it's, that's what it, the what he was saying like struck me as.
They're asking me what Raider would say. Like what Dennis would say. Dennis would say this. Yeah. Hold on, you guys make me laugh. Yeah, I may have sexual problems, but at least I'm not a homosexual. That's what he would say.
Yeah.
He would say, yeah, that guy, yeah. He tried to make himself look respectable, you know, working for the JC, you know, he was in the JCs, but, you know, it was all a facade. He was a homosexual. Yeah, that's
the reason. And the thing that kills me about Gacy, too, and he says this on the tape, too, is that he told his wife, because he was married a couple of times.
Yeah.
He told his first wife that he was bisexual.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure he knows exactly what that word means or if he's just, like, obfuscating, like, on purpose, because his definition of bisexual was, you just kind of like have sex with whoever and whatever and without any love behind it. That's what he said. But he made it very, very clear in his tapes that he hated gay men.
I'm bisexual. I buy you something and you get sexual. I'm buying dinner and you're getting sexual.
That's nice. Huh? But that's the thing. It's like, it's weird that Gacy, I mean, it's not weird. I know why he does why he does it. But he says to his wife, he basically, that he's bisexual, so he likes to have sex with men. But he's like, he's not gay. Oh, no, I hate those people.
Yeah.
I hate those people. Ray, I think they're disgusting. And I'm just kind of like, dude.
Yeah.
My man.
Yeah.
My dude.
Him and Raider hanging out in prison and shit. Fucking. Raider be like, I put on women's clothes. But that was just to take pictures. It's because I didn't have a woman at the time, and I was just trying to put my artistic message out there. It's not like I enjoy wearing women's clothes or anything, you know.
No, of course not.
No.
And that's the same vibe I get from Gacy, where he's very adamant that it's like that he hates gay men. He hates that whole thing.
Yeah.
And yet, he is engaging in... Yeah. I mean, after his... he did have sex with his wife because they had kids and stuff, but... You know, at one point he says to his wife, yeah, we're not having sex anymore and I'm going to go. And she knew that he was having sex with boys, or she suspected.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that he had sex with women after that point. And yet he was just out there saying like how much he hated gay men. And I'm just kind of like, what is your fucking, and
he's a self-hating leather.
That's what I mean. And it's just kind of like, and it's so obvious to everybody else. And it's the same thing like with Dennis Rader, like wearing women's clothes and getting all like, you know, all stiff about it. It's just kind of like, look, everybody knows why you're doing that shit. Yeah. It's like, and you denying it just kind of makes it sort of more hilarious, yeah, because it seems like you don't really have any idea that you're not fooling anybody.
I don't think Dennis was gay, though. Dennis was just cross-dressing.
No, yeah, those are two different things. Those are two different things. And that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that Dennis was gay. I meant that, you know, he had, like, a fetish for transvesticism, which, like I said, that's not usually the same thing. Usually transvestites are usually straight. Yeah. But yeah, the fact that they're in such denial about it, and they're trying to be so, well, I would never, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And so, like I said, Gacy being that way, like I said, which might have stemmed a lot from the time, but also, you know, being, having his ass beat and calling his, having his dad call him, you know, queer and stuff like that when he was a kid and getting the crap beat out of him. I'm not, like, excusing it, but his dad was super abusive. So, you know, I don't know. It's just funny that it's very, very obvious to everybody else why they say what they say, but they think that they're so much cleverer than everyone else. And I definitely got the idea that Gacy, who, like I said, never struck me as particularly bright, you know, he seemed of pretty average intelligence to me. He didn't seem, like, smart or a mastermind or anything. But he was definitely one of those guys that thought he was, like, super, super smart and clever, even though he obviously was not. Yeah. The only reason that he got away with what he got away with for such a long time was not so much because he was super smart or a mastermind or anything like that. It was just circumstances, you know? Yeah. I kind of feel like nobody really suspected him because he seemed like, oh, neighborhood nice guy. And honestly, he had killed some people. I think his first victim was 1972. You know, and he killed a couple people in the years between 1972 and 1976. But I kind of feel like it ramped way up after his wife left him, like his second wife left him in 1976. Like, it went kind of off the rails. And then after that, like, neighbors did start to report him acting really weird or not really giving a shit anymore, like, if he looked weird. I kind of feel like prior to that, he was sort of maintaining a facade of normalcy that people were kind of mostly falling for, you know? Yeah. But he did... I mean, even there's interviews with a guy on there who, he actually was almost raped by Gacy when he was, how old did he say he was? I think he said he was 15, 16, but he was in high school. And he's still, and he's like an old guy now, and he was just still like really, really upset about it. He's like, it was like the fucking, can you imagine? It's like, it must have been like the most horrifying thing, because what Gacy would do was that, like I said, he had an angle. He's just kind of like, he wasn't just cruising around. He did that later. You know, he would pick up kids that, you know, needed a ride or something like that.
Yeah, he would torture these guys.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like they didn't talk about that too much. Like, they do kind of go into that in the documentary. But I kind of feel like, I kind of wish that they had gone into that more.
It's BDSM, hardcore fucking BDSM, like sexual shit he'd do to them.
Well, and he did some shit like Dean Corll did too, yeah, and he got the idea from Dean Corll, where like with the rope or the board with the rope on it, like tying people.
Oh, he
up
was doing that too.
He was doing that kind of shit too.
Yeah.
You know, like sticking huge things up like people's butts and stuff like that, and just like
how did he usually kill them? Strangulation.
And he would take a long time doing it too. Yeah. And like another thing he did, he would like sometimes give them drugs and wake them back up, or he would partially drown them and then wake them back up.
Yeah.
And I mean, he just like hours and hours and hours, and he would just like abuse them until, and like I said, he had an angle. It wasn't always, he just went down to like Bug House Square, which is where a lot of, you know, kind of male hustlers and stuff, but also just street kids, homeless kids, stuff like that would hang out because there was a Greyhound bus station there. So later on he would start doing that, but prior to that, like I said, he had a company, and it was actually a successful contracting company, and he had like all these teenage, you know, 20s guys working for him, so he had a legitimate thing where he could go up to young guys and say, hey, I have a contracting company and you can come work for me, and he did have work for them, and then if he found one that he liked, he would just, you know, you'd be hanging out with him one day, nice John Wayne Gacy, he'd have a beer with you, and then he'd say, hey, want to see a magic trick? And then he'd put some fucking handcuffs on you, and then you were in big fucking trouble.
Gacy's driving force was fucking self-hatred, if you ask me.
I kind of feel like it was,
He was a pathetic little fat man, all right, who was just not impressive in any way. It started early in school, where people just blew him off. He was the kid that you did not pick to be on the team. You know what I mean? And he was just... people fucking made fun of him. And he was gay. But he didn't want to hide. He wanted to
he
hide.
He didn't
want
to admit
his dad was fucking real hard on him. So he grew up to be a just fucking vicious motherfucker who's trying to damn prove something to himself what a tough guy he is. You know, he does it by torturing dudes he was attracted to that would reject him. So, you know, why not torture and kill him? That's what he's doing in his mind. That's how he, you know, that's how he rationalizes it. He did let one of them go, I think.
And then that one guy...
If he begged enough, sometimes he'd let him go.
That one guy, who they actually talked to a little bit, like on I think on the third episode.
Yeah,
that guy was like horribly... He, Gacy got him with chloroform, and his face was all burned.
Yeah.
And, he raped him, and like he dumped him in a park.
Yeah.
And that guy actually went to the police and said, hey, this happened. And then he said, I'm going to go find Gacy myself, because he remembered kind of what the what the exit was and where what the car looked like.
Yeah.
So he like went and positioned himself at that exit and said, I'm going to wait here until I see that motherfucker's car again. And then I'm going to get his license plate and I'm going to go back to the cops and tell him like who the fuck
that
is.
Did he find him?
Yeah.
Found him? Okay, yeah.
And, so.
Yeah, so... This is overcompensating. You know, he's overcompensating for shit, and he's got a lot of fucking self hatred. But that doesn't. Motherfucker was a monster, you know.
Yeah,
he was
big a monster. Time. And the fact that he couldn't even. He was so fucking.
And he's a lizard like, kind of like a robot, you know?
Yeah, he didn't. Even when. He seemed to. I don't know if he genuinely believed this. It's hard to tell, like I said, because he's very. The way that he talks is just very shallow and kind of off the cuff. And he doesn't. Like I said, he doesn't seem to have any particular insight into his own behavior. But he thinks that he's smarter than everybody, but he's clearly not.
Yeah.
And then, like, just the way he talked about these kids. Was just, I kind of feel like he's like, well, they came to me needing a job or something like that, so therefore they're like my property type of situation, and he could just do what he wanted.
Yeah.
He did not give a single fucking shit
about
them as human beings at all. He just saw them as just a thing, and he would just use them and throw them in the fucking crawl space.
Yeah.
And even when he was going to be, because he was in prison, I don't know if you guys know, he was went to prison in 1980, and he got the death penalty, and then he just, like, appeal, and then they finally killed him in 1994. But it's like he would never fess up to anything. He would never, like, he kind of did, but he always, like, you know, kind of put the responsibility on something else. You know what I mean? It's almost kind of like, on some of the victims, he said, oh, they attacked me first, or something like that. He would always have some kind of mitigating circumstance because he didn't want to take responsibility.
As always, we've gone over this when we've done full shows on serial killers. It's never just one problem. The motherfuckers have a lot of problems at once.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise more people would be doing this.
Yeah, and otherwise there'd be a lot of these guys, and there aren't. You know, it was a bunch of physical factors, upbringing, mental factors, and just he was kind of physically and mentally a reject. And then he was kind of, his dad was hard on him. He was just kind of unlucky, and then it just he was self-loathing, and he just started imploded in on himself and fucking turned into a monster, which. That's sad, but doesn't give you the right to go fucking kill people because you're
exactly.
a fucking self. It's, you know. But he didn't have a deep consciousness. These guys are all kind of robotic, lizard-like. That's where that pathological lying fucking speech pattern that you hear. Everybody that I've ever fucking met that has that speech pattern is a lizard. They're not even... It's a lizard person. They're not real people. They're more like an AI robot. Remember that kid that used to fucking track me down at the club constantly and tell me about him going into the army? Little skinny kid. He was always showing up with a new girlfriend, overweight girlfriend.
Remember, he had
that fucking speech pattern bad. That's why I kept giving that kid the cold shoulder. I was like, look, okay, thanks, man. I got to go. Never could get... But he was one of those. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember he's
a little skinny kid, probably about 19, 20. He was old enough to get in the club, so I guess he would have been 21. And he tried to get in the army, and they kicked him out. And then he just keeps showing up and showing up and showing up. And it's like I'm his lost, long friend. And like, dude, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know? And he had that same speech pattern, which is immediately fucking red flag. I'm like, nope, don't want to know you, dude.
Another thing about Gacy, too, that I kind of feel like is, it wasn't just being self-hating gay and being, like, not wanting to be like that. I kind of feel like all he wanted, maybe because he didn't get it from his dad, I don't really know, but all he wanted was adulation and attention. That's why he went into politics. That's why he went into JCs. That's why he was the guy that threw all these big backyard barbecues. That's why he was a clown. That's why he wanted attention. He wanted everybody to love him.
He wanted to be better than other people, too.
You know, he was just one of those guys, and I hate these kind of guys, honestly, even if they're not serial killers, but just kind of those big bluff, like, hey, Ben, that's slapping you on the back and shit. And I hate that.
And you can totally tell that that person's not really like that. It's a front that they're putting on.
Exactly.
It's totally.
That's why I don't like it.
It's totally artificial. It's a. It's like a spider.
Like, hey, sport.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a spider.
God, I hate that.
Putting out a web and things putting out fucking displays to, you know, attract prey. You can tell that it's not real.
Yeah,
they don't believe in what they're doing. That it's a facade.
Yeah.
And you can see that they feel it's a facade.
It's a very used car salesman kind of. It's very, like, slimy kind of.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it makes me feel creepy. Like, you're people like that make
you
me
can
feel
tell
creepy.
That, you can tell, they're trying to deceive you. You can
feel it. Yeah, exactly. And I think they think they're better at it than they actually are.
Yeah. Because, they're not.
Like I said, they creep me the fuck out.
Because they're lying and they don't believe it.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that you are believing it.
Yeah.
You know, I get that feeling.
Thank you very much, Camp Guy. Awesome show, he says.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody says, up here, Gacy had a whole lot more souvenirs than what they showed on the series. Yeah, the thing about this is that I kind of feel like I'm glad that this series, it's 3 hours, but there was a lot of stuff in it that they didn't cover. But like I said, it's only 3 hours. He killed 33 fucking people, and they couldn't really focus on each of the victims, like, in turn. So they mostly focused on him. They mostly focused on, you know, the investigation into Robert Peast, like, how they ended up catching him. And then they would kind of go back and talk about, like, shit that happened, like, in his past. And then they would talk about the tape. So they talked a lot to his defense attorney. They talked about to the prosecution team, the investigators that worked on it, stuff like that. So it's a little bit of a different angle. But rereading, because I was like, well, I want to read through, like, the Wikipedia page real quick, like, before we did this show, because I was like, I couldn't remember, like, exactly all this. I know we did a show about him a long time ago, but I couldn't remember, like, all the details. And yeah, they did leave a lot of stuff out. This dude did have, they kind of mentioned it in the show. They said, yeah, we found, like, a class ring, and they found, like, some driver's licenses and shit like that, like, from some of the victims, which made them suspicious. But they don't, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's, like, a shallow, but it's just, like, a different, slightly different focus, I guess, than some of the other ones. So don't go into it thinking it's going to be, you know, the end-all, be-all, because there's a lot of stuff they did kind of leave out.
Wanted to say something before I forget. Christopher Walken in Dogs of War is on for free with on YouTube, which means that it may be on Amazon Prime for free. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon, he fucking Christopher Walken as a mercenary, and he looks at you and he goes, "How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you stick that thing on my
head?" Yeah, yeah, okay.
Rickshaw says, "How do people that barbecued at his home not smell all those bodies?" Well, he did use quicklime, and I was kind of thinking that too. You'd think, like, the whole fucking neighborhood would stink, but I mean, he did, like, use quicklime, and maybe that helped. But they didn't actually smell the bodies until the cops, like I said, they were looking for Robert Peast, the last victim, and they actually got a search warrant. They actually had to get two because they didn't find anything the first time. But they had one search warrant, and then one of the cops, like, went to the bathroom and smelled decomposing corpses, like, coming through the heating duct. Now, they said when they'd gone to the house before, maybe it had always been cold because, you know, it's outside of Chicago, so maybe people didn't smell it because it was cold. I don't really know, but you'd think that it would, like, really, really smell. Rickshaw said, I will have to watch the Cecil Hotel one now. Yeah, that one was actually really good. I remember that one. Caleb Wilson says, how's Tom doing? I recently finished the Road Rage episode. It sure was something, LOL. Yeah. Tom got, like, really, really drunk and shouting.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I know you don't. Grantor's Hammer said, self-hating men who dabble in gayness but hate gay men is as common as snow in Alaska. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Case in Michigan recently where dude met a gay man online, then cut his throat and ate his genitals.
Damn.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that probably happens a lot. And like I said, maybe it doesn't
happen. That happens a lot? You think that happens a lot?
I mean, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean, like, cutting throat and eating people's genitals. Yeah. Obviously, that doesn't happen a lot, thank God. But you know what I mean? It's just that kind of thing, like, where men are like, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. Like I said, it's probably less prevalent now because, like, now nobody cares if you're gay or not. It's, like, not, you know, a big deal. But particularly, I think back in the 60s and 70s when it absolutely was a big deal, yeah, you were going to get this where it was like, I'm totally not gay, I'm totally not gay. You know, just like, even though I have sex with men and kill them and shit like that. Like fucking Gacy did.
That shit there, according to fucking one program that I saw that kind of explained it, that attitude was from that generation that came out of the 50s.
Yeah.
And during the 50s, there was kind of like an anti-gay McCarthyism that went. It was like instead of witch hunting, they were like gay hunting.
Oh yeah.
Who was the gay? You know.
Yeah.
But before that, they evidently it wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, like I said, shit like that is pretty cyclical.
Yeah, the 20s and the 30s, early 1900s, evidently was real common, a lot more common.
I mean, it was still illegal back then, but I don't think it was...
I don't think they were looking for it, though.
No.
And it always existed.
Yeah, of course.
It kind of, like you said, it goes in a cycle of whether or not it's acceptable or not, or what they're going to do to you about it.
Yeah. Cess B says, I love how rape, pedophilia... torture and murder are not the shameful things with Gacy. Homosexuality is the homosexuality is the big shameful.
I was joking about it earlier.
Which, yeah, like I said, it's just kind of like, oh, well, I'm not gay, bro, but yeah, I'll totally, like, fucking rape and strangle dudes.
Raider would have went, yeah, he's gay.
I just do not get. I do not get the psychology of these people. Well, the thing that kills me
Raider,
is that...
Raider, what do you think, man? What do you say about that? Well, he's gay. You know, of course.
And I can totally think
that's what Raider,
and I kind of feel like Raider would have, because you know what a fucking snot that dude is,
Dennis,
that
Dennis.
He would have been like looking down on Gacy.
Yeah, he's like some well, you know.
Yeah,
he would have thought fucking Gacy was a pussy. He would have. Dennis was big, you know. He's what, 6-something probably.
I think he was.
He's a pretty
6'3",
big dude,
something like that.
And physically imposing. Not Gacy. Gacy was a little fat guy, and fucking Raider would have looked down his nose at him. I think, yeah. Hey, another thing, fucking Raider would have said bad about him. Well, he's a Democrat.
Well, yeah,
he's a Democrat. So yeah, that would have been another one.
Although that
somebody was saying earlier that fucking Raider fucking didn't like. Wouldn't have liked him because gay was against the Bible or something.
Yeah.
Raider went to church, but he wasn't religious. That's just a facade.
Yeah, he was fronting.
That was just a facade. What was important to Charles Raider or Dennis Raider was to look totally acceptable and mainstream to the community at large.
Yeah, needed the wife, the kids, the white picket fence, going to church on Sundays.
Some kind of uniform, some kind of an official job, church.
Very respectable.
Yeah, that was just part of his camouflage. He'd go out and take a 12-year-old girl and hang her and jerk off on her booty. I mean, the Bible's against that too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I kind of feel like it doesn't say that, but I kind of feel like it's implied. That's
right,
implied.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
So he did that. So Raider was a fucking monster.
All these guys are monsters.
Yep.
Well, and the thing that's, and this is kind of going back to what I was saying earlier about Gacy, where, you know, yeah, he was real involved in politics and stuff, but he didn't really seem to give a shit one way or the other about politics. He just wanted everybody to like him, and he just wanted to be popular and kind of famous, and he liked it because he got a lot of adulation and he knew famous people, and you know what I mean? I don't really think he gave a shit about politics otherwise. It was just a method for him to, again, maybe a little bit of camouflage, although I don't really even think that he was thinking about it in that calculated fashion. I think he was just, oh, this is an avenue where I'll be popular and people will like me and I can go around and like shake hands and do fucking pancake breakfasts and everyone will think I'm a swell fucking guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he was doing that.
Somebody in there is quoting me or something that I said. Fucking read it down. It's Jeffrey Art. Did he say that? He was talking about something that I said on another show.
Wait, hold on.
What's the last comment?
I know, but I'm like behind.
Catching up, okay.
Rob said he was just like Drew Peterson, that cop who killed like 3 of his wives. He sounded just like him.
Oh, yeah. That dude, yeah. Yeah, that dude.
And then Mixtape Swagger said, I agree that I hate those types of personalities. Yeah, when I was talking about like those real, those real fake gregarious dudes that are always like slapping you on them. You know that type of dude.
Right.
You know, and he's like, hey, sport, hey, buddy, hey, this. God, I hate fucking people like that.
That's not cool.
I just want to punch him in the face. Yeah, let's see. Jeffy Art reminds me of the Herb Baumeister podcast. Oh, my God, yeah, that was a while back.
Yeah,
you guys did a few years back. Didn't Tom quote his friend, if you're going to be gay, be power gay?
I don't really remember that, man. I was probably
Well, that show was a long, long time ago.
Herb Baumeister, that was the guy with the fucking, with the swimming pool and all the
mannequins,
right?
Yeah. Because remember we talked...
This is supposed to be fucking haunted.
Yeah, that's why we did that, like the Herb Baumeister from... Because I kind of feel like Herb Baumeister is one of those serial killers, even though he killed like a fuck ton of people, and he did it like in a really fucked up way, and his house is haunted, and there's just all kind of like crazy... I don't even think they found all the fucking bodies yet.
He owned the dollar store, didn't he? Dollar Tree?
Well, no, I think it was one of the dollar stores,
wasn't
but
dollar
I don't...
General, was it?
Oh, now I can't remember.
I think it might have been Dollar.
Dollar Tree. There's so many different ones.
I think
ones.
It might have been Dollar Tree.
Or Family Dollar? No, I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the Dollar Tree stores, like he owned a franchise of it, or he started it, or some shit like that. I can't remember which one
it was. That big old...
Man, was it Dollar General? Now we should look that up.
Yeah, we can look at that.
I mean...
It's not going to stop me from going.
Well, now, is he dead now?
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
That's what I thought.
I think pretty sure he's dead.
I kind of feel like he's a serial killer that a lot of people don't bring up, even though he killed like a fuck ton of people.
He killed himself, remember?
That's right, that's right. Yeah,
shot himself in the car, went on the run.
That's right, I forgot about that.
That was fucking creepy because he had a nice big house, kind of like one you'd have out here, on its own piece of land with a private drive that went and had a fucking mother-in-law mansion, mother-in-law house on the side. That's for your groundskeeper and shit. And it had a nice fucking modern, it could look like a fucking 80s style kind of mini mansion with a fucking indoor swimming pool and a certain wing and everything. It'd be like a place where it's a little dated, you know, the architecture. But the place I'd live there, I think the shit was awesome. You could get those.
It was a nice house.
Yeah, you could get those kind of things cheap now because they don't sell. A lot of times they'll tear them down and they put something else on them. Put a new mansion on it because nobody wants old mansions. They want new mansions.
Agnes Lamb said it was called Save-A-Lot, but not
Save-A-Lot.
Not the Save-A-Lot that you're thinking, because I know that there's like a chain called Save-A-Lot, but this was like, that's right, but it was like spelled different.
Yeah.
So I don't think, it was a chain, I think, but I don't think we had any of them down here in Florida. I think it was more, I don't remember, it was like a Midwestern.
That was a weird situation. Herb kicked his wife out. He went full gay. So he kicked the wife out and he turned it into a one-man pleasure palace. Him and all his mannequins, and he'd bring his fucking gay friends over and get high and screw them on the pool and strangle them to death.
I mean,
some weird shit. And then he had them. And then he took them, and he had enough fucking land and enough privacy to dispose of those bodies. He was chopping up all those bones. Remember the big old pile of bones?
I don't think they even found all of them.
They don't know how many he killed.
I think they're still stumbling across them every now and then. Like, you find, like, little pieces of bones out there still.
Man, I bet you'd be terrible. I bet you'd be creepy as fuck in that big old house by yourself.
I bet it would.
In that big old house by yourself with those pile of bones out in the back.
Yeah.
And you sitting up there like a spider. Fucking. And he was making money, wasn't he? He was making plenty of money. Or was he on financial straits? Didn't he lose a bunch of shit?
That's the thing. I think he was actually pretty wealthy at some point, but maybe...
I
think like as he was starting to like lose his fucking marbles.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can't. Drugs. It's hard to run a business.
And male prostitutes, serial murder, killing. And they went through that damn house. They showed that house, and it's because he killed himself. And I guess the bank owns it. Nobody ever moved into it again. It'd be like a good place for urban exploration. It was fully fucking furnished and everything. All his stuff was still in there, and it was like the 80s decor, fucking late 80s decor. It looked like, you know, remember that old fucking stupid looking Queen Anne decor that they had back then that fucking every rich person was supposed to have? Looked like something from fucking England or some shit.
Yeah.
And the wallpaper, it's kind of spooky, man. Fucking.
One thing that actually, when I was watching the Gacy documentary, that I didn't realize, because it's been so long since we did the show, was that some of the victims are still unidentified this long later.
Yeah.
Actually, they out of the 33 that they found, because like 27 of them were like in the house. Like there was a bunch in the crawl space, and then there were some like on other parts of the property, like underneath like the cement by the barbecue pit or like in his garage or whatever. And then there were four of them that he dumped in the Des Plaines River. He said there were five, but they never found the fifth one. But so for a while there were eight that were unidentified. Now, they did identify two of them in 2010 because of DNA, because they actually started, you know, thank fuck, they actually started doing, like, right around 2010 or maybe a little bit earlier, they started trying to identify all the rest of the victims because they want to, you know who the fuck they are and, like, have their families get a little bit of closure or whatever. So they actually did identify two more of the victims in 2010, and then they just identified another one in 2021. So there's five left. Five victims that they found that they still haven't identified. I was remembering, like, one of the most horrifying parts of this documentary was when one of the investigators on the case was talking about, you know, going into the crawl space. Now, see, you have to think, they didn't think they were going to find fucking 27 fucking bodies under there. They were just looking for that one guy, right? Robert Peace, who had disappeared. And so they go down in there, and then there's just fucking bodies everywhere. And the one guy said... And this, they had like a little bit of footage of it, and it's kind of gross, but you can't really tell what it is because the, you know, the videotape was, quality was so bad. But he's like, there was this one body that was in there, and it's like, and they couldn't get it out. It was like stuck, like down under the thing. And he had to like put, he's like, this is awful, but I had to like put my fucking hands like into the rib cage and like pull it out like that because it was just like stuck into the fucking ground. And I'm just like, that's fucking horrifying. I mean, Jesus Christ, that guy had to do. And like I said, that was a long time ago, and that dude's old now, but you could tell he was, like, really fucking... Yeah. He was still really cut up about it, I guess, as you would be.
Jeffrey says Baumeister lost a lot of his money towards the end of his life. He was in financial trouble.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And I think that piece of property did eventually sell, but they showed videos of
it. Yeah, before, because I think when we did the show, right, that somebody had moved into it.
And that, because that's where the reports of it being haunted. They had that one guy living in the caretaker's house.
Yeah.
And then in the main house, remember? So ghost stories came from when somebody bought the property.
John Smith said, I thought his house was razed to the ground. Yeah, Gacy's was, yeah. Not too long.
You couldn't live in that, man.
Well, they tore everything out. They tore out all the floors and everything like that because there was fucking bodies everywhere.
Yeah. You couldn't live when that cop said when he went down that crawl space with that flashlight, there was worms, red worms up on the surface.
Yeah.
And when the flashlight hit him, that went whoosh. He said he'd never seen that before. Never saw it again either. Because the soil was just so rich in those fucking body nutrients that the fucking worms were fucking having a field day.
I mean, can you imagine just going in there thinking, I mean, they were pretty sure they were going to find at least one body because they had smelled one, and that's a very distinctive smell.
Yeah.
And as I said, at that time, they were only investigating one disappearance.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, well, maybe we're going to find that guy. And then can you imagine like going down this fucking crawl space and then he's just like body after body after body.
Yeah.
They were fucking everywhere. And it's just like, well, it got to a point where, well, that's why Gacy started dumping them in the river because he ran out of room.
Yeah. Didn't he have some in between walls?
No.
Okay, that was another one.
No, he did. Most of them were in the crawl space.
Okay.
One of them was under like a like some concrete that he poured in his garage, which was kind of like separate from his house, like right on the other side of the driveway. One of them, or one or two of them, were like under this concrete thing that he'd poured like under a barbecue pit. And then after that, he's like, oh, well, I thought about putting them up in the attic, but I thought there would be leakage.
Right, yeah.
So then he started, like, taking them and dumping them in the river. So he did actually, like, admit to doing that kind of stuff, but yet in some way, and even when they were gonna, when he knew that he had the death penalty and he knew that his appeals had been used up and he knew they were gonna fucking kill his ass, he was just kind of like, he didn't give a single fuck. He was just kind of like, well, I got the last laugh. I got away with it all that time. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. He was just like that. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I wish there was a hell. But I know there's probably not. But I kind of wish there was, just so he could fucking, Jesus Christ.
It's scary how easy a person can disappear. We've talked about it on the main shows before. It's a lot easier if there's no family. If you go after a person that has no family or the family doesn't give a shit because, like, they're, you know, drug addicts and they don't have a good relationship with the family. The family's long gone. Because the person disappears and there's no even missing person report ever filed. Nobody knows the person's missing.
Yeah.
So there's no indictment or investigation. The cops aren't even aware.
The weird thing about this one, though, and like I said, yeah, Gacy did later start targeting, you know, runaways and stuff like that. But a lot of his earlier victims were, like I said, kids that he'd asked to, like, work for him. And yeah. So he had a relationship with them prior, and a lot of them just had, like, regular home lives. So a lot of those kids were reported missing.
Yeah.
It's just that
they didn't know where they went.
Nobody really knew where they went. Yeah. And, I mean, you'd think that Gacy would have been right up there on everyone's fucking number one suspect, but they didn't really get on the ball until a lot later. And actually, when one of the cops that investigated the case on the documentary, he even said, you know, I don't like to say anything shitty about my fellow police officers, but he's like, I kind of feel like they really dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense that all these people disappeared and they were just kind of like, ah, they just ran away. Oh, they'll come back. It's like they're teenage boys. You know, that's just what they do.
Yeah. A lot of those Green River victims, a lot of those weren't even reported missing. They just found the bodies. You know, some of them were reported missing, but they just knew that that was a body dump. They just kept going down there and finding more and more bodies.
Yeah.
You know. But if those bodies weren't found, you never would have known that those people ever existed. Because their families didn't know that they were gone, and they didn't have any close friends that missed them when they vanished. They were like, well, what happened to that person? She must have got locked up. You know.
Yeah, I mean...
Think of how many people do you actually know walking around out in public, how many of them you keep track of. You don't keep track of any of them. They'd come up missing, you never know. Didn't even know they're missing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, unless you have, you know, you live with a family or you live with, or and you have like a job or something like that, you know, if you just kind of live a transient lifestyle or you have the kind of job where no one's really going to notice if you're gone for a while, then.
Yeah, you could go missing and then your family one day might say, you know, I haven't heard from them in about 8 years. Where'd they go? And they go, I don't know, last time they ever filed anything was up in Wichita, Kansas. That's last, you know, 9 years ago. We don't know where they are.
Yeah. That probably happens.
That's it.
Yeah, it probably happens a lot.
There are no missing persons. The cops aren't looking for them. They don't know anything.
Well, I mean, especially if, you know, especially if the person is, like, estranged from their family or they're older, they're an adult.
They're adults, right, yeah.
You know, so it's not like anybody's going to... Because, honestly, if you're a missing person, they don't even really like to... If they're an adult, they figure you have the right to take off if you want to, unless there's, like, really, really suspicious circumstances.
Now it's a lot easier because everything's computerized.
Yeah.
You got fucking cell phones and online records of transactions, and so it's a lot easier to locate a person or to know if a person's active. If a person has no internet or electronic signature, they're dead.
I mean, you would think in this day and age.
In this day and age.
It's really, really difficult to live in this day and age without...
If you're not doing ATM transactions or fucking instant money type transactions, then you're dead.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like...
Yeah.
So in that way, I do kind of feel like it's a lot better nowadays because back in the 60s and 70s, as we said,
you could get away with a lot.
That's why, and probably maybe that might be a factor too in why you saw that type of serial killing more than you do nowadays, because it was so much easier for people to just like pick people up and no one would even know they were gone, you know? Scary.
Yeah, I predict a lot of this kind of behavior will never really go as get as big as it used to, you know, with these fucking 5+ body counts, you know, for serial killers. It's too hard nowadays. Electronics.
Yeah, and the thing about
it
is that
you might get 2 or 3 or 4, but they'll get you. So you'll never get up to 30 or 40 like Gacy, you know.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, had there been the internet back then,
it never would have happened.
I don't think he would have. I mean, there's no way he could have killed 33 people without somebody finding out about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that people that monstrous aren't around. They are.
Those kids,
but they get caught.
Those guys would have all had cell phones.
Yeah.
They would have known that the cell phones went dead.
Yeah.
So they would know that those kids came to a bad end. There would have been an investigation. Who'd these guys know? What do they all have in common? Gacy. That's right where they'd go.
Yeah.
And they'd fucking be, so, you know, last time these phones were ever active, they were pinging off these towers here. And it's only going to get more, the security will only increase. You know, the internet, the internet of things will eventually come. You won't be able to get away with any of this.
John Smith said, in the UK, police digging up Fred West's garden. Yeah, I remember we did shit about those motherfuckers. We're expecting to find just one body. The police officer digging said, either this girl's had 3 legs or we have something more serious here.
Yeah.
Which is gallows humor, but yeah, it's pretty fucked up. John Smith also says that one of Gacy's employees was later convicted of being a serial killer. Yeah, I have to look into that. Some people think Gacy had an accomplice. Yeah, I think we maybe talked about that on our show a little bit, that some people think that, that went down in the dark along with the other victims. Yeah, that's possible. Like I said, maybe that's kind of like some
Dean... He killed him?
Yeah, like there's maybe some Dean Corll action going on.
Yeah, makes sense.
And Rickshaw says lots of people hitchhiked back in the 70s. Yeah, that, I'm sure that didn't help either. I mean, a lot of people did, and a lot of people got away with it for years and years, and they didn't get murdered, but, you know, I'm not saying...
Too risky.
But it's, yeah, nobody... You'd be fucking crazy to do that shit nowadays. Yeah. Holy shit. I don't even like the idea of, like, taking a cab or an Uber or something like that. I'm like, I don't know that fucking driver. Jesus Christ, that could be anybody. Grampther says, people go missing all the time, and then they find their body 20 years later, car submerged in a river or in the thick brush under a freeway bridge. And you know what? Honestly, I was watching an old Unsolved Mysteries the other day, because that's kind of what I put on to relax, because they have, like, the, you know, 14, 15 seasons of it on Tubi. So I was watching one the other day, and there was these people, like a couple, I think, and they went missing. And I'm sitting there, like, and they're kind of, like, laying out the case, and I said, they went into a river. That was an accident. Because it happens around here, too, Florida. It happened in Daytona when I was growing up. People were missing for a really long time. There was, like, no sign of foul play, but they had no fucking idea where they went. Turns out they were driving down the road one night. They weren't, I don't know if they were drunk or anything like that, but they just went off the road, went into the river, nobody saw it. And they just been sitting under there ever since. Grampther said Tom would make a superb police detective.
Yeah.
Never too late, bro, to live the dream.
Shit, man. Coming from an ex-cop that I grew up with, that's looking funny. No, man. It may be in another life, but that I could see how that would really wear on you. Phew.
I mean, I wouldn't mind...
Battlefield stuff a lot better. A lot more fucking... no innocent victims in Battlefield stuff.
I wouldn't mind doing, like, forensic science type of shit, like, helping to solve crimes, but I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to have to deal with the perps. I don't want to have to, like, go to
but
the scene.
Yeah.
I know what I mean, but I wouldn't mind, like, working in a lab, like, and doing, like, forensic stuff. I wouldn't mind doing that kind of stuff, but I don't really want to be, like, on the front lines of that crap.
Got to be able to think like a scumbag.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean,
you have to have empathy. You have to be able to put yourself in the shoes of a fucking scumbag. What's he feeling? You know, how's he doing?
If anything.
Yeah, what's he, you know, you know, what was motivating him?
Yeah. Well, that's why true crime shit fascinates me, because they seem like alien to me, but the more you read about them, the more you understand how somebody could turn out that fucked up.
Right, yeah.
But so it's just interesting for me to read about how things can go, like, so horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like fucking reading fucking internet fights and watching shit on YouTube in the comment section. And it amazes me, Grampthers, how fucking a large percentage of the fucking human population has absolutely no empathy. They get into a fight with somebody and they cannot win these fucking online fights because they cannot empathize with the other person. They can't see from the other person's point of view. If you want to defeat somebody, you have to understand how they think. So that way you can... What are you doing, Poke?
What?
That way you can...
She's like, shut up, you guys.
If you know how they think, you can predict their reactions. And I just see people fucking... The shit that they say... And they're fucking trying to make attacks on people, and you're like, no, they don't respond to that. It's not what he's thinking, you know. I just think it's funny. It seems like kids, young ones, the younger they are, the less prone they are to be able to put themselves in somebody else's shoes.
But they might learn that later.
Yeah, everything is me, 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 me.
Because a lot of teenagers are very, very self-absorbed.
Yeah, and you're not really sure how old they are when they're talking.
Yeah.
Because you just see text. And you're like, that motherfucker has no idea what he's talking about. And it might be a 12-year-old, for all you know, that's writing that, you know. But it is funny. I do notice that the younger they are, the less chances that they will ever score any victory over anybody.
First Power 100 says, in the U.S., it may not happen again, but in Southeast Asia, Latin America, and Africa, you still have serial killers with 30-plus victims.
Yep, yeah,
that's
true.
Mikhail Popkov had 83 victims in Russia and surpassed Chikatilo. We did a show about. We should probably do a show about that guy. We did Chikatilo, but Grampther's Hammer says, I suspect I have mild PTSD from some of the stuff I've dealt with. I don't doubt it. Execution style homicide, child rape, people trying to kill me, etc. So, yeah, it's like I said, I don't know if I'd probably want to blow my fucking head off having to deal with that kind of shit all the time. I don't know if I like to read about it, but I'm interested in reading about it. But if I had to, like, deal with it every single day, I think it would really,
and a lot of times their guys are all dealing with multiple cases and stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
On the back burners and this and that, and you're juggling all that shit through your mind, and then you got to go out and fucking go talk to people and do interviews, go fucking try to figure out where this person went or what happened and who did. Most of it is going to be simple, though. Most of it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, every now and then you're going to come across, right, like some really weird fucked up shit. And honestly, having to deal with, like, how, I don't think I could actually bring myself to go to, like, what if somebody's, like, little kid got kidnapped and murdered and, like, then having to, like, go tell that to the parents and stuff? Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do
that. Yeah, talking to them.
It would just be too, it would be too upsetting.
Got something to tell you. I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I mean, fucking people that do it, like, fucking, that's amazing, but I don't think I could, I don't think I could do it. Rickshaw says, have you seen Mindhunter on Netflix, Jenny? Yes, I have. It's excellent. It's about FBI profiling, the start of it. Yeah, it was a great, great show. I think I'll probably, like, rewatch it at some point, too, because I really liked it. Omri Vampire says, I'm still amazed how right you guys' hunches were about the Golden State Killer years ago. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I didn't go back and listen to our Golden State Killer show, like, after he got caught. But I remembered that we had made some, I don't know if we, like, pegged him exactly, but we made some fairly accurate predictions. But it's because serial killers tend to fall, I mean, humans aren't really that different from one another. Serial killers tend to fall in, like, particular kind of types. And he just seemed to us to be that kind of type.
Golden State, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which one was that? That was the,
That's D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. Yeah. Well, just, dude was coming into Windows doing recons and setting up the fucking scene so he can come back later. He knew how to handle fucking, he knew how to take prisoners and learn, and how to handle fucking captured prisoners. I'm thinking commando or a cop. Yeah.
Yeah, cop or cop wannabe.
Yeah, cop.
Or military.
I was thinking military or cop, or both. Yeah. And I think he ended up being both. Wasn't he military and police?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew that you could walk around at night with a fucking weapon in between houses and go into somebody's house, and really the chances of you being seen are slim. Which is something I found in Korea. There'd be fucking 20 of us walking around through people's backyards with belt-fed machine guns and M16s climbing their fences and shit, and not a single one of them would wake up. Nobody would see us. It'd be 20 of us.
Yeah.
Making a trail in the ground as we walk. So many guys walking in line, you're tearing up the damn ground. And 20 armed men can walk through a fucking neighborhood and climb people's backyards and climb over the fences, and they didn't wake up, nobody saw us. Then one man can do it easy.
John Smith said, a guy in my hometown was convicted of, I think, 3 murders. Men he OD'd with GHB, he bet off Grindr, dumping the bodies in a church. The police wrote the deaths off as icky gay stuff.
Icky gay
stuff. Yeah, I do kind of feel like that went. Yeah. And honestly, I don't know. I'm sure it's better now than it was in the 70s, like when Gacy was active. Because I do kind of feel like male-on-male rape was not really taken all that seriously, largely. In the 1970s.
It's happening between them gays. That's what they're
thinking. It's like, oh, well, that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Like, he must have, like, wanted it or something.
They nasty.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was, like, part of it. They did, like, kind of bring that up a little bit in the documentary.
Yeah.
And I think that was absolutely a factor as well. Like, why they were just kind of like, yeah, we're just not going to. That's their thing.
That was the thinking. That was the thinking of the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Zusia K, read the book on the Golden State Killer. It was excellent, but also terrifying. Was that the one, I'll Be Gone in the Dark? I still need to read that. It's on my fucking, to-read list, and I still haven't got around to reading it, because I really do want to read that. Yeah, just like the serial killer in Toronto. Yeah, it's, you know, it's sad. It's sad that, like, you know, depending on the time period, if you target certain types of victims, it's just less likely that anything's going to get done about it. So, you know, fuck, man. The whole show is kind of bummed me out. No, it didn't really bum me out. I mean, but yeah. So this documentary, like I said, it's not super, I don't want to say it's like not super in depth, but there's been so many documentaries and so much stuff made about Gacy that I guess it doesn't really have to be. So it just kind of has an angle. They have these tapes that they found, like, from his defense team that a lot of people haven't heard before. So that's pretty creepy, like, listening to him, his stupid ass, like, lie his ass off all that time. you know, and it was good, like, seeing the interviews with some of the investigators and stuff. I just thought that was really interesting as well. But, yeah, it's absolutely worth watching. So, you know. Yeah, Bruce MacArthur, that's who they were talking about. All right, so it's Tuesday today, right?
Yep.
Okay, so tomorrow is our main show.
Yep.
And we're doing a show about autism spectrum disorders. That was what won in the poll. So that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow evening. So hopefully you guys can drop by for that, because that should be pretty good. So, yeah, I guess that'll do it for the show today. So we will see you guys tomorrow afternoon. Thanks for dropping by and hanging with us.